I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. It's time for our weekly visit to the barber shop, where the guys talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week are freelance writer Jimmy Israel, media executive Nick Charles, civil rights attorney and editor Arsalan Iftikhar, and syndicated columnist Ruben Navarrete. I may jump in here and there, but for now, take it away, Jimmy. And Jimmy, I have to say, I can't believe I'm saying these words, but I've actually missed you.
Oh, Michelle, we miss you so much here, and thank you for passing it off. Gentlemen, welcome to the shop. How we doing?
Hey.
Doing good, man. Hey.
Yo, what's good? You know, it's interesting. Governor Sarah Palin, all over the news, logging appearances on ABC with Charlie Gibson. Yo, Slick Nick, what accounts for Palin's momentum this week?
Well, that shows how really, really badly the Republicans picked the top of the ticket. Because, you know, before Sarah Palin, John McCain could barely get his own family to come see him speak. And now he's getting audiences of 5,000 to 10,000. I think, you know, it's a really interesting phenomenon to see someone like Sarah Palin, who untested, unknown, out of nowhere. But she does embody a lot of the things that Americans really hold close, which is mom, apple pie, someone who has a family, and not just, you know, one or two kids, but she has five kids. She has a special needs kid. With whether or not she was exploiting the issue of her daughter being pregnant, the fact that she has a kind of a dysfunctional kind of family, Americans can identify with that. And also, she is kind of like, you know, full bore, speaks her mind. She's very, very religious. You know, she talks about her faith is right next to her. And those are things that resonate with Americans. I think it's the newness of it all. But as the interview last night with Charlie Gibson proved, she really needs to learn what's going on in the world. You know, people talk about her being a quick study. The question is, do you want a quick study being a heartbeat away from being the president?
Right. You know, it's kind of like Marge Simpson goes to the White House, man. You know, but what trips me out about Governor Palin is that, you know, for me...
Can I point out for those who don't know that Marge Simpson is a cartoon? I just feel I need to say that because, you know, some people... But I digress.
I think it's more June Cleaver.
But is Jimmy always clear on who's a cartoon and who's real life? I'm not sure.
That might be
the
question.
This is coming. Okay, hold on. This is not beat up on Jimmy Morning. You know what?
I got you back,
apparently,
Jimmy. Don't worry.
No, it's beat up on Sarah Morning, apparently.
The A-train's warming up. Don't worry.
Okay, well, all right, help me out here. For me, Palin kind of comes across as very quoted and rehearsed, man. I mean, I'm waiting for her to have a thought of her own. Is that just me?
Ruben.
Yeah, well, listen, I rehearsed, yeah. I think they all rehearse. When you cover politics as long as I have and as others have, they all rehearse. And I think that they know, they focus group this stuff ahead of time. They're prepped. I think that before Joe Biden goes in to debate her, he's going to get a lot of prep. So they all get that. I think that the significance of what we're seeing with regard to Palin is a lot of Democrats who believed one thing or said they believed one thing are now having to tap dance in the opposite direction. A lot of Republicans who said they believed one thing are having to do the same thing. There's a role reversal, and the big lesson is that nobody is married to their convictions and their principles. All they want to do is win. They want to win. And so suddenly, it used to be that people on the left who support Obama used to freak out whenever somebody mentioned that he didn't have the experience. He'd only been in the Senate for about 150 days before he started running for president. He certainly didn't have the kind of experience, according to Hillary Clinton, that she and others had. Well, people freaked out, and they said, no, there's a lot to be said for bringing in a change agent, even if they don't have as much experience. Well, now you have in Sarah Palin a change agent who doesn't have a lot of experience. All I'm saying is there needs to be some sense of consistency. I may never win this argument because I can't get Republicans to remember what they were saying a few months ago. They've all flipped. Democrats have flipped. People just want to win.
Honestly speaking, I'm reminded of what actor Matt Damon said on the Associated Press, that Sarah Palin seems like a bad Disney movie. I mean, you know, she's playing this golly gee hockey mom role here. And, you know, I'm just waiting for her and Emilio Estevez to come out in Mighty Ducks 5, Vladimir Putin and the Palin Flying V. I mean, this really is redonkulous. And I think that, you know, she proved it in her interview with Charlie Gibson, you know, when she was asked about the Bush Doctrine. And, you know, she'd responded, you know, by saying, in what respect, Charlie? I mean, it just showed that she is completely oblivious to the roles and the responsibilities of Commander-in-Chief. And, you know, the Marge Simpson quote really struck a chord with me because Mayor Quimby on The Simpsons was the mayor of a town of 30,720 Springfield. That means he's three times more more ready to be president than Sarah Palin.
Mayor Quimby for president.
Jimmy, listen, let me jump in on this thing with the foreign policy.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me jump in on this because I don't think Sarah Palin's going to have many defenders here, but I'm happy to defend her. I seem to recall that in 1992, a young man, bright young man from Arkansas, ran for president. He had zero foreign policy experience, and he was mocked by his opponent, Bush 41, who said, "The closest my opponent has gotten to foreign policy is eating breakfast at the International House of Pancakes."
We weren't at war,
though.
Hold on.
We were not at war.
There's another perspective as well. Arsalan, your guy, Obama, to his great credit, I thought out of the box in talking about Pakistan, saying that if we knew and we had actionable intelligence, knowing that Osama bin Laden was in Pakistan, he would go get him. He was called naive by Joe Biden, the guy who's now paired up, speaking of not holding on to your principles, paired up with Obama. Now, I applaud Obama because even though he hasn't spent 45 years on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee like Joe Biden, he was able to cut to the quick and say something that really a lot of people agreed with.
Sarah Palin said that before her trip to Kuwait that she had only been to Canada and Mexico. She's never met with a foreign head of state and does not understand what the Bush Doctrine is in terms of anticipatory self-defense. Now, if somebody doesn't know what anticipatory self-defense is, they have no position being in the Oval Office of the White House.
I mean, I understand, which leads to my question, isn't this a Rorschach test? I mean, where you stand is where you sit on this. There's no objective.
Absolutely.
Is there an objective reality?
Yeah, there's no way you're
going
to find.
The only point, Robin, I would say is that we were not at war in 1992 when Bush, I mean, at least that we didn't know that we were.
We didn't know we were.
We didn't know that we were.
Somebody was at war with us. At war with us, and we didn't quite understand that the game on. And that somebody was plotting against us, already carrying out minor attacks in other places around the world.
That's absolutely true, but John McCain has made experience in his matters of the world sort of the crucial question.
I hear you. Democrats have made change the mantra. How do you get changed by electing Joe Biden, vice president?
Yeah, but you know the thing about it also is you have a woman, and I'm not beating up on Sarah Palin, and I don't think it matter of defending or beating up on her, but the reality is this is a woman who saber-rattled last night about Russia. And coming into the next presidency, they're going to have to face the challenge of Russia in that region, in that part of the world, and also the economic challenge of China. And I don't think she's ready for either one. I don't think John McCain is ready for either one. Polls consistently show that people are much more worried about the economy than the war right now. And they still haven't articulated an economic plan to get this country out of the morass and the infinitesimal debt that they have. And if she continues to say, you know, if we something happens to Russia goes into Georgia, people have to prepare for war, that is what is really troubling. Not the fact that she knows the Bush Doctrine or doesn't know it. It's about the fact that she can go and make that leap of faith saying, you know, we'll take up arms against Russia. She must be out of her mind.
You know, Nick talks about Nick talks about the economy, Jimmy.
Go ahead, Ari.
Nick talks about the economy. I thought that Barack Obama was pretty firm on tax cuts. I thought his position was that he would repeal the Bush tax cuts or he would let them expire and not renew them. Then he was asked by George Stephanopoulos on This Week, 2 weeks ago, gee whiz, what if the country's in recession? And he flip-flopped and Obama said, well, you know, if the economy is a little shaky right now, I'm going to hold off on what I do with the tax cuts. So even if I think Nick has a point in the terms of the McCain-Palin team not having it with the economy, the problem with Obama on the economy is he can't pick sides.
You know what? One good thing, I'm going to move on right here, but one good thing at least about this conversation is at least we're talking about substance so far as I, you know. And I don't know about you guys, but it just seemed to me that the level of dialogue really deteriorated over the course of the week. I don't know. Did anybody pick up on that whole lipstick versus the pig, thing?
Why was Barack Obama on Letterman? Talking about some clip
Why was John McCain's campaign calling a conference call with reporters talk about that?
No, it's
that.
Crazy.
I don't know.
Can we hear the Letterman clip?
Do you want to hear
Letterman
the Letterman
clip?
Yeah,
drop it.
Okay, yeah.
Have you ever actually put lipstick on a pig?
You know?
Whoops.
The answer would be no. But I think it might be fun to try. In Illinois, the expression connotes the idea that if you have a bad idea, in this case I was talking about John McCain's economic plans, that just calling them change, calling it something different, doesn't make it better. Hence, lipstick on a pig, it's still a pig.
Now, what
To say, that was Obama's response to the problem, I guess, trying to deal with that situation. Arsalan?
Now, you know, Sarah Palin got a lot of chuckles at the RNC for likening herself to a pit bull with lipstick. And so, I'm sorry, she's fair game in terms of making analogies with animals and lipstick. I mean, this
but he wasn't calling her a pig.
I don't think that was his intention.
I know that, but what I'm saying is that, you know, you have the Republicans, you know, running their Karl Rove politics. You know, they are rolling Karl Rove on the street. The problem is that Democrats have always fought with one arm tied behind their back. This is a presidential election here, and we're playing hardball national politics here. And so, you know, the Democrats have to step up and not relent.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with Jimmy Israel, Nick Charles, Ruben Navarrete, and Arsalan Iftikhar in the barbershop. Back to you, Jimmy.
Thanks. You know what my question is? I'm going to throw this to Nick. How can Obama protect himself from these penny ante type joints without coming across as the infamous angry black man? And I think that's an ugly question, but I think we have to ask it.
Well, I don't think he can. I think these are diversions. These are distractions that are going to come up in the campaign until November 4th. You're going to have these kinds of things. It meant nothing. He was not referring to her, but this was an opportunity where they can link him to the S word, which is sexism. He's a sexist.
Right.
And all these women, now you see the polls where women are moving en masse, particularly white women, middle class, upper middle class, working class white women are moving towards the McCain ticket because of Sarah Palin. And throwing the S word out there is not going to hurt. He has to fight back. I think the high road, you got to get off the high road. But at the same time, he has to be very, very guarded against seeming as somebody, as you said, being angry, being volatile. He cannot lose his temper. John McCain is famous for losing his temper, but Barack Obama cannot afford to lose his.
All right, let's move on. Against all reason, a jury has been seated for O.J. Simpson's latest trial behind kidnapping and robbery charges, and I'm told the jury that has been selected is all white. And this is all behind kidnapping and robbery charges from he says he was allegedly trying to steal back his memorabilia. I don't know. It was all messed up.
I'm sorry.
No,
forgive
no,
me
I,
for
I don't
a
know if
any, Does anybody care? Is this keeping any of you up at night?
Not at all. I am not
me,
shedding
let's
one
go back
tier.
To topic number one.
Jimmy, you're sleepless because of, I mean, you know.
Don't squeeze the juice.
Don't squeeze the juice.
Oh, come on, no.
Don't squeeze the juice.
Oh. Are you, for, well,
free OJ.
Well, okay, Arsalan. Okay, you're an free attorney. My husband's attorney. I believe in the system has to work for everybody. If it works for anybody, it has to work
Absolutely.
For everybody. Rights have to be protected, blah, blah. Having said that, I don't care.
I don't either. And right. what is most telling to me is that if they got an all-white jury after the entire voir dire process, the defense attorneys have not been doing their job. And we know that, you know, half the country, if not more, has been after Jews, you know, since his acquittal. I mean, but, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, you know, when you're going to go into a Vegas hotel and, you know, say that you want your 1969 Topps rookie card back, you know, at gunpoint, when everybody's out to get you is
right.
That's pretty
ridiculous. I would like to have seen an all-black jury. I mean, what possible harm could come from that? I mean, with
O.J.
Simpson.
I don't know about harm or not harm.
The only thing
that's going to stop this is put him in jail. It's about time. Put OJ in jail. Mm. The rest of the country who's been trying to get him since 1994 will
right.
stop. The rest of us don't care. And then he'll be able to spend 5 or 10 years quietly and then it'll release him somewhere into the wild and we will never hear from him again.
I guess I just feel like even if this stuff was his stuff, if you know that people are out to get you, don't be guilty. You know what I mean? I mean,
right.
I'm not saying he's guilty. I don't know. The process has to go forward. But it seems to me I would stay home and play golf.
Right.
That's what I would do.
Well, see, this gets in
the
way.
If I knew that people did not dig me, I would just be like, play golf, volunteer, you know.
Right.
That's what I would do. Hand out sandwiches at the shelter. I would just keep it very clean.
Look, this case gets in the way of all those folks out there, Latinos and African Americans, who are pulled over for no reason, who are subject to racial profiling. This is not O.J. Simpson. You know, if O.J. Simpson had not been knocking on a door trying to demand his stuff back with somebody who was brandishing a gun, he wouldn't be here. So there are victims, and then there are not real victims. And I don't think you're going to see O.J. Simpson, you know, on a stamp anytime soon.
Can't we talk about what really matters, which is football?
That's right.
Oh, man.
Sorry.
I'm ready for some football.
That's right.
Well, Tom Brady's not because he's benched all season with a knee injury. Oh,
ouch.
What will the Pats do without Brady? Nick?
They'll win. Because they still have Belichick and they still have
what?
Randy Moss.
What?
And they still have.
Who's going to throw to him?
Jimmy, you could be the quarterback. The fact is,
you're hired.
Tom Brady got hurt and he's been the poster child for the NFL for the last 5 years. He's a great quarterback. But more importantly, people have to remember Bill Belichick wins because of his system. And if you have a half decent, competent quarterback and Matt Castle, or whoever they may or may not bring in, they will still win. They may not win 16 games. They may not win 15 or even 12 games, but they'll make the playoffs.
They don't have a helmet big enough to put these dreads in.
Okay, A-Train, run it, bro, run it.
Well, first of all, their backup quarterback, Matt Castle, actually, I think, took 3 snaps in his entire USC career and none in his NFL career, just to begin with. And you're talking about Randy Moss. Who's going to throw the passes to Randy Moss that he's going to catch? And what was most telling to me is that Las Vegas bookmakers had odds of the Patriots winning the Super Bowl at 5-1 before the injury. It's at 20-1 now. Basically, Tom Brady's going to chill for the next 6 to 9 months with his girlfriend, Gisele Bündchen. They'll be chilling at the Dolce & Gabbana parties
in
Milan.
Not a bad thing.
He'll be all right.
Yeah, it's good.
I think Randy Moss caught
a pass last week. Don't hate the player.
Aslan, I think Randy Moss caught a touchdown pass last week from Matt Castle, didn't he?
Yeah, he's going to have to catch a whole lot more in order for the Patriots to win.
I rest my case.
Arsalan's right about this. Go ahead, Ruben. Look, Tom Brady, these kinds of players don't grow on trees. This is an incredible vacuum that's been created here. Opportunities abound in Indianapolis and in San Diego and elsewhere in that conference. I think you're going to be feeling this hurt all the way down to the playoffs, and I don't think the Patriots will make it that far.
Go Buffalo Bills.
And gentlemen, I think that's a wrap. Thank you so much for coming into the shop. I got to pass the ball to the irreplaceable Michelle Martin.
I'm just stuck on this image of Jimmy Israel in a Patriots uniform. That is going to keep me up at night. Jimmy Israel is a freelance journalist who writes for TheRoot.com and TV One Online. He joined us from member station WCPN in Cleveland. Ruben Navarrete writes for the San Diego Union-Tribune and CNN.com. He was here with us in Washington, and we love it. Nick Charles is the managing editor of Essence.com. He joined us from our bureau in New York. And Arsalan Iftikhar is the founder of TheMuslimGuy.com and a civil rights attorney. He was also here with us in Washington, as usual. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Peace.
And you.
Thank you, Miller.
Yep, yep.